Blog Talk Radio.
Shalom, shalom, everyone. This is Sister Yaina from the Yehuda Project. I am waiting for Sister Kazah to come on the line. In the meantime, I'm going to play a song for you, which is what our show is about today. And I hope you enjoy it. It's by Musique.
Shalom, shalom, everyone.
Shalom, shalom. Kavah, I wanted to make an announcement for everyone that is on the line. We're still waiting on a lot of people to come on the line. Our panel of men are still not on the line. We're waiting on a few other people to call in. But I wanted to make an announcement today. I wanted to let you all know that the 2013 State of the Nation Address has been postponed. Well, it's not postponed. We're moving the date back to September the 1st of 2013 because so many people wanted to be included in this, and we realized that there was a whole group of people that we were missing. We were missing the unconscious Hebrew Israelites. We were missing the Moors. We were missing the Muslims. We were missing the Christians. We were missing it because it's the State of the Nation Address, which means we should include all of our people in it, and we just decided that we would push it back and have it on September the 1st to give everybody an opportunity to participate. Also, I wanted to make an announcement as well. I wanted to let everyone know that we got some feedback from our show last week, and Sister Kavah and I are going to deal with some things today. The topic of our show today is about love, We want everyone to understand that we are a team that's together to promote unity and to promote love among our brothers and our sisters. So I won't say too much more. I just wanted her to be able to get online and to pray and give us our scripture reading and our prayer before we start. All right. Are you ready?
You're ready. Yes, ma'am. You ready for me to do this, the scripture that we talked about earlier?
Yes, ma'am. I'm ready for you to do. Yes, ma'am.
All right. All right. All right. Shalom, everyone. We're going to do our scripture is going to come from Deuteronomy, the 30th chapter, and we're going to read verses 1 through 3. That will be Deuteronomy, the 30th chapter, verses 1 through 3. And it shall come to pass when all these things have come upon thee, the blessing and the curse, which I have set before thee, and thou shalt call them to mind among all the nations, whether Yahweh the Elohim have driven them, and shall return unto Yahweh the Elohim, and shall obey his voice according to all that I command thee this day, thou and thy children, with all thine heart and with all thy soul, that then Yahweh thy Elohim will turn thy captivity and have compassion upon thee and will return and gather thee from all the nations, whether Yahweh thy Elohim have scattered thee. Father, we thank you today for the opportunity to come together and to speak and talk about those things which bring our nation together. We thank you, Father, for putting this mandate upon the heart and the mind of Yaina and myself to be a bridge to bring our people back together and to unite us in your love, Yahweh. So we thank you on today, and we take authority over any and everything that would to try to come up against that which you have mandated at this time. In this season, any spirit of division, any spirit of strife, confusion, I tell you that you have no place here, and I take authority over you, and I bind you, and I release the spirit of Yahweh, which is the spirit of unity and of love. And we thank you now for this, Father. We thank you for this opportunity to flow in the mandate that you have told us to do. In the name of Yahweh Elohim, Hashem Yahweh, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. I just wanted to let everyone know that this is the open forum, and what we usually do every week is we give everyone an opportunity. If you have something that you would like to say, we ask you to push number one. If you want to make a comment, you're welcome to push number one. To make a comment. We have quite a few callers on the line already, and they're calling from all over the United States again. I see all kinds of area codes, so we know that the show is making some headway. I just wanted to also announce that we've only been on the show, this will make our fifth week, and we have 3,825 listeners that have listened to the four shows that we've done already. So, you know, we're making an impact. We got feedback last week from some of the people in Chicago had some issues with my approach. And I wanted to address that issue real quick before we get started. I want you all to know that by no means do I ever mean to offend anyone. It is not in my nature to be offensive in any way. I am a person that came out of Christianity into the truth, and when I look at it from an objective opinion, when I see it from where I sit, I have to give my opinion. My opinion is very passionate. My opinion is very straightforward. But I want you to know that I love you. And the only reason why I'm even on the show at all is because of love. And love is the thing that's going to draw us. And love is the thing that's going to keep us. And we just wanted to talk about love today because that's one of the issues that's on the table. And if you have something else you want to talk about, it's an open forum, but, you know, love is so important that we really don't realize what it means until it affects you. I mean, you know, you really don't understand how important it is until it touches you. You really don't realize what power it has until it affects you. So, you know, our job is the doctrinal issues that we have. I'm messianic. A lot of people say that they feel like that I am not giving Yahweh Shai enough notice. And my response to that is I want you to know that I'm closer than him than you can ever begin to imagine. But at the same time, I love Yahweh Shai. I love Yahweh. I love the whole, all of it. There's no issue there. I love my brothers and sisters that are non-messianic. You know, if I would give them the shirt off my back if they needed it. There is no isms or schisms when it comes to me. So I just wanted to let that be known because there are people listening all over the country now, and I want you all to know, you know, that love is the principal thing. I found myself in an arena where I was the only messianic involved at all, and they embraced me. They loved me. They didn't beat me up, but I stood for what I believed, and they stood for what they believed. So we have a mutual respect for each other, but we also love each other, and that's the thing. That's the key that's going to bring us together. So I'm going to turn it over to Sister Kavai in the event that she has something she wants to say. If you feel like you want to make a comment on that or you have something to say to that response or anything at all, please push 1, and I'm going to open up the panel as soon as Kavai finishes with her comments. Go ahead, Kavai.
Okay. I also want to say, Sister Yaina, just before when you do open up the panel, I have a brother that is going to be one of the panelists, and his area code is 817. So I just wanted to let you know about that as well. I do have something to say, and I want to say this to my brothers and my sisters, whether you are messianic, non-messianic, Muslim, Christian. It's about us as a people, as a whole. Because our enemies are not looking at us in the realm of, oh, this one's a Muslim, or this one's a Christian, or this one's, they call themselves Hebrew, Israelite. They're looking at you at the color of your skin, and all they see is the color black. And our job is to unite our people in love and to bring us together. And all of those who may not understand or overstand the mandate that is upon Yaina and myself, I can't help that. All I can tell you is that we are just simply obeying. We are listening to what the Most High have instructed us to do. And part of listening includes obeying. So if you don't understand why we are doing what we're doing, it's okay. But here's the danger. The danger is not in you not understanding. The danger is in you coming up against what is not ours but Yahweh's. So I say to you, my brethren and my sister, with all the love that's on the inside of me, woe be it unto you if you come up against something that you don't understand. And it's of Yahweh. Woe be unto you to fight against what is not mine, what is not Yaina's, but what is Yahweh's. And for the nation of the people, it is in our DNA as women to be nurturers and to bring together and to gather and to show love and to bring peace. That's in us naturally. So who will fight against a woman of Yah or even their own wife if they were to try to bring peace in the home? Our family, our nation of people, this is our home. And I will be less than a woman of Yah if I did not try to bring love, unity, and peace among my brethren and my sisters. So again, I say to you, woe be it unto you that fight against, that speak against what we are doing. Because it is not of us, it's of Yahweh. And the reason we can tell you it's of Yahweh, because Yaina and myself together, we don't know 4,000 people. We never had a clue that almost 4,000 people will archive this show in 5 weeks. That's not of us. So if you don't overstand, it's okay. But woe be unto you if you try to come against us and fight against us, because then you will find yourself coming up against the sword of Yahweh. And that sword will deal with you. That's all I got to say. And shalom, and I love my people.
All right, so what we're going to ask right now before we get started, I see some people. Well, I want all of the people, that the guys that are on the panel for me, to push one. I see area code 312. I see Brother Adonia on there, and I see Brother Gary on there. Okay, I see Brother Abraham on there. Let's see who else we have on there. Brother Moshe is on, so I need him to push one. And what we're going to do for the people that are listening, because we got quite a few people on the line today, which is great. I mean, it's great. And I wanted to introduce to everyone, when I push your number and I tell you you're on the air, would you please state where you're calling from? If you don't want to give your name, that's fine. But the city and state where you're calling from, so that the people that are listening will understand that we're all over the country. They're calling in from all over the country. We have some good brothers on the line, some Hebrew Israelite brothers on the line that's well-versed, well-knowledge. They're doing some powerful things in the earth, and, you know, we hold very dearly their opinions. You know, what their knowledge in the word, and it's that balance between male and female. And that is exactly what Yahweh is trying to bring into the earth, is the balance between the male and the female, because both of them are very vital to what's getting ready to happen right now. So I see everybody's pushed on. Right now, I would ask that you hold your comments, panel. We just want you to introduce yourselves to everyone that's on the line so that they know where you're calling from. And I'm going to start in order. Area code 404, your mic is open. Could you please let them know who you are and where you're calling from, please?
Shalom, this is Adonia Ben Yehuda Ben Yisrael. I'm calling from Atlanta, Georgia.
Shalom, I'm going to leave your mic open. Okay, area code 757, your mic is open. You're on the air.
Shalom, shalom. This is Abraham Ben Levi Ben Yisrael, calling from Hampton, Virginia. Shalom aleichem.
Shalom, shalom. Shalom, shalom. We also have area code 817. Your mic is open. You're on the air. Could you please introduce yourself and tell us where you're calling from, please?
Shalom, beloved Israel. This is Gary Ellison. I'm calling from Texas, and we're calling from the Elect House of Israel. Thank you for being here. Thank you for inviting us today.
Wonderful, wonderful. I think I have Brother Moshe on the line. He hasn't pushed one. Brother Moshe, could you please push one so we can get you on the line? And I just wanted to say hello to everyone. Shalom, shalom. Much peace, much love, all of that. It's good to have you here with us today. It's truly an honor that you're here today and that you're able to participate in what we're doing. It's definitely a powerful thing. People are definitely being affected by it, and it's a grand thing. Okay, I see Brother all right, let's get Brother Moshe on the line. Brother Moshe, go ahead. You're on the air. Could you let everyone know who you are and where you're calling from, please?
Shalom, shalom. This is Brother Moshe Ben Israel from Chicago, Illinois, and I wanted all those that is listening, I will be in Cincinnati, Ohio next Friday. I will stay for 3 days, and I will be teaching at Israel Now's Knesset. And I will tell you all furthermore about that as the lesson goes on before it ends. I will be in Cincinnati for those that want to hear me teach. I will be there this Shabbat, and I will be teaching the class. Shalom, shalom.
All right, shalom, shalom. So he's going to be in our town. All right, Moshe's coming from Chicago. We feel like we're honored to have you in our area. We look forward to that. We do, we do. Okay, so we got the mics open. The panels are open. Brother Abraham, I did see where you called back in, sir. Your mic is open. We want to open up topics today, and we just want to talk. So we want everyone to kind of give us an idea of what we how you feel about what's happening right now with us as a nation and about love and how important love is, because love is so important to this whole dynamic of it all. Because from where I sit, we've been hurt long enough. We've gone through enough. I mean, we've hurt each other. We've hurt our brother and our sister, and it's time for us to start loving instead of hurting. So, you know, if you guys want to just start talking about whatever, we just open up the mics and you guys can go first. Anybody want to interject, that's fine.
Well, this is Brother Gary from Texas. I'd like to say, you know, I'm probably for the most part, most of the gentlemen who are on the panel, as well as the ladies, and good evening, ladies. Good evening, sisters. You're doing a wonderful job. Sister Kavai, you know, I got to give a big shout-out to you because you're holding it down. You always do. I always hear that prophetic coming out of you, you know, with this temper with love. But what I was going to say is, alluding to is that probably most of the gentlemen who are on the panel, as well as myself as the sisters, is that you've been in this movement, been in this truth for some time. We've been here for just more than just a moment. And I think that wisdom would dictate that we kind of look back retrospectively at the past and find out, why have we failed to come together in the past? You know, why have we failed to unify as people, you know, as a whole, and effect and impact our culture, you know, for the positive, for the glory of the kingdom of the Most High. So, and I would say that for the most part, it alludes to what your sisters spoke of earlier, is love. And if you read, well, even when the Apostle Paul, when he made reference to love, love is an indication of maturity. And even us as Hebrews, like as a culture, as a community, there are many of us that have been walking in it for a minute, but then there are also many new people who are coming into the movement. And I think that there has to come a point to where people have to be seasoned so they understand that it's not about them, that it's bigger than them. It's more than just about us and our group, you know. And I think that what must primarily be the main factor is that, again, looking at the experience back through the years, is that I've seen a number of people make efforts to come together, to unify, to get things done, to be effective in affecting change in our community. And I found that this is a common principle, no matter when it was, how long ago, who was involved, how many people were involved. If we're not in the Most High's timing and doing what he wants to do, he doesn't endorse it. It's as simple as that. Every good idea that we could come up with, everything that we, you know, thing that we think that we should or should not be doing, if we're not in context and with timing, with his will and his timing, it's not going to be effective. It's just not going to happen. It's like kicking against the pricks. Our efforts are going to be frustrated. But I do believe that we're in this season and that we're in that time. And then though we have, you know, different theological issues, we have to understand that from a believer, for me, from a perspective as an Israelite, an elective Israelite, meaning a born-again believer, I understand that that I can deal with a person who not necessarily happens to be an Israelite, who may not necessarily believe like I can believe, but I can still believe, you know, deal with you in affairs of business and affairs of civil affairs to the extent that, you know, we're in line with the scripture. But the fact of the matter, just because we have different beliefs, that should not in any way preclude us from in any way coming together as a people and unifying and trying to get something done. And one of the things that we have to keep in mind again is that I'm not going to impose my gift on Sister Kavai no more than I would want her to impose her gift on me, meaning that she has talents and that she's gifted at, and that those things are going to always figure to be supreme to be to her. Well, the thing is, it's just like me with her. I have to understand my place, and I have to understand what she has to offer. I have to honor that because I cannot receive from her without honoring her. Are honoring an individual that I'm networking with. I have to honor the gift and honor the gift of the Most High that's in them and honor their skill, regardless of their theological belief. As long as we ain't trying to worship Satan, we all good.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I mean, really, and that kind of number, that sums it up. I mean, really, you know, but Brother Gary, I have a question for you since you opened the door to that. Why do you feel like it's so, as a nation, and when you break down a nation, then you have to go to you have to deal with a family, you have to deal with individuals, and then you have to deal with a family, and then the family goes into the community, and the community goes into a nation. We're trying our best to start with the core of the family and then deal with helping the families to come together. But coming out of Christianity and into this newfound movement, you know, I see that from my standpoint, from what I see, it's more of a patriarchal movement than it is matriarchal and patriarchal. There is a, they're off balance. The balance is not there. I've come across some beautiful brothers that have the ability to translate that word and open up that word to the point where, from me being a pastor and being in Christianity and reading it on and on and on throughout and looking at it, I'm like, now, I've read over that 1,000 times and never saw it that way. I mean, the Hebrew Israelite brothers have a gift where they're able to discern that word and peel that word back to the point where it just blows your mind. But there's something missing, because if the girl isn't included in it, and I really didn't want to have to go this way, but you know what, you kind of opened up the door, but if the female isn't included in it, then it's off balance. So,
I would respond to that this way and say that the problem that you bring out, that you emphasize, is very real, it's very significant, and it definitely does exist. It needs to be addressed. And I think that one of the issues is, again, it goes to the thing of maturity, but one of the things is that we have to understand purpose. And we have to understand that Yahweh has a purpose, a specific design for everything. And within purposes, there are also roles, there are functions, there are things that do. And I think the problem is that because of the fact that many of us are what I would call Torah top heavy in our theology, then that before that we don't understand the liberality that has come through being the born again person. And so therefore we don't give sisters the respect and the honor that is due them, and honor the gift of the Most High that is in them, and utilize and exploit that gift for the glory of the kingdom of the Most High, is simply because we don't understand purpose. And we're also dealing with our own little idiosyncratic and eccentric issues, what I call egotism. And the reason is that, and those things are not addressed for the most part in many of the teachings that you hear. For the most part, this is something I feel like as a community we lack theologically based, is that we deal a lot about history, we deal a lot about doctrine, but we don't deal a lot of things about personal responsibility and accountability. Yahweh Shah called it discipleship. That comes from the word discipline. Therefore, that means I must deal with my own issues. Because if I have any insecurity issues, then I'm going to impose the fallout from that on my woman, because she is the closest thing to me to control and manipulate and dominate if I'm dealing with insecurity issues. Well, the fact is that men, they're not those in the culture that we have now that is so pervasive, patriarchal, as you said, and you are on point on that, they're not going to address those issues for the most part, because that means that now you have to address you. You have to look at you in the mirror and deal with you. And a lot of times guys are so egotistical that they don't want to deal with that. Well, the fact of the matter is that, guess what, unless you come like a little child, you're having a part in the kingdom. So as a result, we suffer. We suffer because we don't want to deal with personal issues. It's more convenient to deal with doctrinal issues that I'm somehow absolved or somehow distanced from, because you don't see my life every day. But the moment I start talking, what's in my heart comes out, and all that egotistical or patriarchal overbearance come to the forefront. And a lot of it is, and it's causing friction. But we also have to remember this, we have to be wise to the devices of Satan. And we have to know that we are still captives. That's one thing about, we're talking about building nations. We have to understand that, guess what? For the most part, we're going to come together, a remnant of us, as a people. But we're not going to build a nation in captivity. I'm sorry. I know a lot of people on the panel are going to have a problem with that. But if you're going to say you're going to build a nation in captivity, then you're going against the Most High. And so, therefore, I can't endorse that, or, you know, or add my, you know, high five to that. But what you said, my dear sister, and you're on to it, and that's why I come, I gave honor to you, and that's why I come, I honor my sister Kavai. She'll tell you, me and sister Kavai go toe-to-toe. But see, one thing that she'll tell you, I honor her, I respect her, and she know I love her. Without a doubt.
Shalom, this is Adonia.
You sound very confident at the same time, but I have to interject on that. And you know, you done stepped on some people. Oh, I love it. You stepped on some people's toes, but you know what? It's good, because this is an open forum, And I would have to agree with you to disagree, because at the same time, as you say, you know, we're coming together as a people. We can't come together as a people unless we gather together as a nation. Now, we're going to be a nation in exile, but no matter whether we develop as a people, the only way we can develop as a people is to develop as a nation, because we're a nation whether we're people or not. We're a people that were brought here. A nation was brought here and was in exile. And when I got my orders from the Most High, his orders to me was to build my nation. So I'm standing here before you today saying, yes, we know we're in exile, and yes, we know that we're still in captivity. But for the most part, when you understand the system that we're in, and you understand the boundaries of the system that we're in, we are almost not only we're not going to have a choice but to come together as a nation, because the way the system is being put together against us, and the way the system is being put together to undermine us, and it always has been there to undermine us, we have to come together. And if I say I'm a Hebrew Israelite and I'm Messianic, and another brother say I'm a Hebrew Israelite and I'm non-Messianic, and if we begin to put on the culture of who we are as a people, and we begin to denounce the things that we have been indoctrinated with, we already coming together as a nation, because a nation is a group of people that believe in the same thing, that follow certain cultures. So, we know we won't be a nation to go back, but we came as a nation and we'll remain a nation. I want to deal with one more issue. The issue with the rebirth and the new birth, giving women respect. Women were respected in the Old Testament, because if you go back to Deborah, I mean, when you understand the boundaries of Deborah, a lot of people say, well, if you got a man got to teach you. And if you have a husband has to be over you. And if you have this is a proper protocol. But at the same time, when you understand who Deborah was, not only was she a judge, Deborah also led in battle. Deborah had a husband. So the Most High, even for those that are Torah-based, the girl was in there. And you can't leave the girl out, whether it's Old Testament or New Testament. We bring something to the table. And the thing that we bring to the table is the gentleness that comes with us as women to be able to let the man know, hey, we need to do this together.
Let me respond to something I said. Let me respond to that. Then I'm going to back out into brothering, because I don't want to feel like I don't want anybody getting the impression of trying to monopolize the conversation. But in regards to nation, a nation, if we look up, the nation basically is an ethnicity. It's a group, a core group of people when we're dealing with issue of nation. Because the difference is, and we have to make this distinction between a nation and a kingdom. You can be in captivity and be a nation.
Yes.
I mean, we have the history records that many groups of people have been in captivity as a nation, but yet they have not had a kingdom. And we must make a clear distinction that even though we can come together, and I agree with you 100%, as a group of people, as a nation, we can come back and we understand that we have a book that tells us the many facets of our culture as a people and what preserved us. And that goes back to the law. So, again, most definitely, yes, we can go back to that. But let's be real about this other issue here. And before I close that about this issue about power, when we talk about kingdom and nation, because a nation, you have autonomy, you have unity. But as a kingdom, you have power. And we have to understand the limitations of our power as captive people in a foreign land. Because if we don't, what we do is we have a lot of people doing things and trying to attempt to do things that are only going to frustrate people, like they did in the 60s and the 70s. And people got frustrated, and what they do? They got tired because they realized it wasn't being effective. So what they did what everybody else did. Hey, marry me a wife, have two kids, get me a house, get me a corporate America, and do my thing. I'm pro-black and everything. Everything about me, you come to my house, I got pictures on my wall, you know, it's black and everything. But am I actually involved in the fight? No, I'm not. So in that sense, I would say we have to make a distinction between kingdom and nation, and you're right about that. We can't come together as a nation. We were in captivity in Israel. We went in as 70 people, and we came out as a nation. But when we went into Israel and took over Canaan, guess what? Then we had a kingdom. And so that's why I would say what you write about that. In regards to Deborah and Torah top theology, Oh, come on. Let's call it for what it is. There's no way we can look at the Old Testament and look at the history of the Torah and not come to a reality that there was some grave imbalances between men and women. And so for those things are addressed in the new person. Well, of course, guess what? For the most people, they see it as theology anyway. So for those who are Torah topic, just because of the fact that you don't so-called, you know, you're not, quote-unquote, born again or whatever, but the fact is that, guess what? Many of them tell me that they acknowledge the teaching of the Mashiach, whether they believe he to be the Mashiach or not. They acknowledge his teachings on ethics and so forth. Well, if that being the case, then you've got to deal with the fact that we got to deal with this imbalance. Because the fact is that, guess what? Again, we have to go back to the beginning. We look at the order. When we look at a man and a woman, you're talking about a family because he did create a family. He didn't just create a man. He didn't just create a woman. He created a family. And that was a unity in which we were supposed to be a for. That's our blueprint. Well, if you look at that, guess what? When it came, now, as long as a woman is by herself, singleness, that's a whole different issue. But once a woman and a man enter into marriage, the scripture clearly says, Yahweh saw the man alone. Well, when he was alone is after Yahweh had given him assignment, things he was to do in the garden. And he said he saw that him alone. And out of all things that he did, he said, that's not good. He needs a help. He needs a help meet. Well, if you break that down, all these Hebrew scholars on the line, they'll tell you exactly what that means. So we have to operate within the context of that. But we don't have to operate in a male chauvinistic, egotistical, top-heavy community because that is not what we were about in history as far as our relation to one another. Because even Yahweh told Abraham when he disavowed the command of him, he said when what Sarah said that the woman had to go, guess what? Yahweh told him, do what she tells you to do. Do what she says. You know, because the fact is that you abdicating your responsibility and then take authority and do what you're supposed to do. Now, that's right, submit. Submit to her because now, guess what? Her word is wisdom over yours because you operate in disobedience. So, again, there's context. I understand everything you're saying, but we have to understand everything is in the context, and we have to look at that thing, that book that we talk about. We can't take it, you know, where we just contextualize them. We have to look at the context, and the context, again, we have a difference between nation and kingdom, and in the Old Testament, in our culture, we have a history that is what we would call would be overboard towards women because, I mean, come on. You know, I mean, look at it. There's many, many examples. You brought one example of Deborah. For every example that you bring out of a woman basically operating in authority, in which the God-given authority that she was given, I can give you 10 examples where men who in great authority and a power and honored by Yahweh were oppressive of women.
That's true. All right, that sounds like we got something going on right now. Go ahead, Brother Donny. We're
going to
give you 2 minutes. Go ahead.
Okay. Shalom. This is Adonia. First of all, I want to say that I love my people. This is one reason why I try to talk and try to get a part of these conferences because I want us to come to rise up out of this, rise up and be a nation. A question I want to ask here is, when does lip service become not lip service? The Almighty said that we bring him lip service. So I say that to say that we got to try to make some kind of move towards getting up out of here. The Almighty also said that he was going to bring us from the four corners back into the land. I'm still trying to figure that out by what we talk about is how that's going to happen. We know that he works through people and he works through the elements. During Ezra's time, when they brought the treasury up to go back to the land, that was the commodity of that particular time. So the treasury that we need now is to try to support our folk. The things that we say that we need, that's what we're supposed to be doing. Moses died trying to do that. We're supposed to give out, not give up. also, you know, I'm gonna let that go. I'm gonna go ahead. But during the time of Sarah, you understand, all the women had opportunity at that particular time. They just they all had opportunity to speak. They just speak about Sarah in the scriptures, but there was many other things that happened with women involved that are not spoken of. They inspired the man to do whatever he needed to do to get us back into the land, build a nation, or whatever it was that we needed to do. And I think that we playing the Almighty's hand short when we say that's not his plan. His plan was to bring us back up to on top so the other nations will see and they will latch on to this understanding of the Almighty. You understand? The laws, statutes, and ordinances. We supposed to, and the reason why it's being done now is because it's got to be fresh in our mind when we go back to the land, because we're supposed to tell our grandchildren and our children about what happened to us, how we got into the position that we got into, and the things that we need to do to stay out of that. You understand? So it has to be fresh in our mind. It would be diluted if it had to stop. It started back there. It would be diluted, distorted, and misrepresented. You understand? Like they trying to do with our history now. They got a thing that they trying to put in the history book saying that we came over here looking for jobs. You understand? So, you understand? It's all about us building a nation so that we
full employment.
Take care of ourselves. So we can don't have to lean on those other folks, as they say that we doing leaning on them. You understand? We as a nation, you understand? I mean, once we start moving together as a nation, all this doctrine that we're talking about will be revealed to us. Right now, we're just speculating. And I relinquish the mic.
Hallelujah.
All right.
This is Abraham. I'd like to have a chance to speak whenever you you give me that opportunity.
Go ahead.
The brother from Texas, I didn't catch his name.
Brother Gary.
Shalom, Brother Gary. This is Abraham. How you doing?
Shalom to you, my brother.
Yeah. I'm sitting here biting my tongue, and I was going to not say anything, but Proverbs 27:5 says, open rebuke is better than secret love. So I got to say a couple of things. First, on the issue of a kingdom versus a nation, Ezekiel 37, verse 21 says, and say unto them, thus saith Yahweh, behold, I will take the children of Israel from among the nations where they are gone, and will gather them on every side and bring them into their own land.
Hallelujah.
So we are going to gather, and the Most High is going to bring us back to the land. But here's the important part, 22. And I will make them one nation in the land, and upon the mountains of Israel, and one king shall be king to them all. Now, and they shall be no more two nations, neither shall they be divided into two kingdoms anymore at all. See, so he's gonna take us and make us a nation, no more kingdoms. So, you know, that would be in direct. It's not a controversy, but the Most High has always dealt with Israel as a nation. He brought us out of the land as a nation. He's going to bring us back into the land as a nation, and he's going to create out of two kingdoms one nation. So,
what scripture did you just read?
Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 21 through 22.
Could you read it again for us, please?
Okay. It says, and say unto them, thus saith Adonai Yahweh, behold, I will take the children of Israel from among the nations where they are gone, and will gather them on every side and bring them into their own land. And I will make them one nation in the land upon the mountains of Israel, and one king shall be king to them all. And they shall be no more two nations, neither shall they be divided into two kingdoms anymore at all.
Okay, let me address that real quick. Two nations. They were two nations because they were Judah and they were Israel. They, even though they were from the basic same family, they all came from Abraham, but they were two nations because they split and they became Judah and Israel. That's two ethnicities. Because even though we're all Israelites, comprised within that is 12 tribes that make us 12 distinct people, even though we are a whole together as one. So when you have two nations, they separated. One went north, that was Israel. Other nation, southern kingdom, which was in Israel, in Judea at the time when the Messiah walked the planet, southern kingdom, Judah. I mean, nation Judah. Now let's deal with the kingdom. They were two sovereign kingdoms. They had their own power. They ruled and reigned within their own geographical territory. Judah could not impose on what was going on in Israel, no more than Israel could impose what was going on in Judah. So they had two kingdoms. And he never does say he was not going to make them a kingdom. He's going to make them one kingdom again. He's going to make them one unified nation again. And, yes, he's going to bring us into a land. But time is essential because it's real simple. When people bring this discussion, I always tell them, if that's what you really believe with all your heart, what are you waiting for? It don't cost that much to go to Israel.
Well, no one is waiting, you know.
I mean, but no, but because we obviously we are waiting for something.
We are actively involved in coming together as a nation and going back to Israel.
I understand.
But the Most High said also that he had to cleanse the land. So it's not my responsibility to cleanse the land. That's his responsibility that he said he would do. So if I'm waiting for anything, it's for the Most High to just do what he said he was going to do, which was cleanse the land before we would return. Because upon our return, it also says in Ezekiel, that we would... It would take us 7 months to clean up dead bodies. So we don't have an army. We don't have a military force, and we don't need one because Yahweh Zebaoth, the Yah of Hosts, is going to provide whatever has to happen for that land to be cleansed. And once that happens, we are to return. But you have to prepare to return. Brother mentioned in Ezra, they went and prepared to go back to the land. To build the wall. They didn't just randomly just all get up in the spur of the moment and say, oh, he's just going back to Israel. It was handled through proper channels through Cyrus, who was the king at the time, for them to go back to the land. And they left out of Babylon back into Jerusalem in an orderly fashion. So there's a process that has to go on there. So my only point to that particular comment was the fact that I'm all about unity, oneness, and peace. You know, I'm Torah only. I've been messianic, so I've been there, done that. And the Torah gives us everything that we need. Going back to the man and the woman scenario, in the beginning, when Yah said, let us make man and woman was embodied in man. And when he said it's not good for man to be alone, he brought the woman out of man. So she's supposed to walk side by side. The problem was disobedience, was the fall. See, before the fall, they were totally equal, two parts of a whole. After the fall, it says that her desire would be to her husband. So what we're trying to do is bring back a sense of unity so that we can go back to the prior to the fall. And my question would be if, and I'm not going to go there, if we were already saved, we wouldn't have a problem. So we obviously have some things that we have to work out that I don't think we got through the stories that we're getting in the new book.
Okay, well, you know what? I want to let everyone know that we have to respect each person and give each person a chance to talk. We're going to open up the mics to some people that are on hold, that have been on hold for a while, and I think area code 916 has been on hold for a minute. And I want to bring something out, too. This is not a show of doctrinal issues. Let me straighten that out right now because I see where we're going. This
right.
is not a show to debate about doctrinal issues. We're talking about relationship. We're talking about love. We're talking about male-female. We're talking about finally coming together as a people. Whether you are non-Messianic, Messianic, whatever you are, we like she said, it is the color black. And the reason why we picked the scripture that we picked today in Deuteronomy chapter 30, it outlines what we need to do. And when you talk about kingdom and power, it says after you have done. Kaba, could you read verse number 2? Deuteronomy 30, verse number 2? No, you can start at 1 because we need to understand that there's some responsibilities on us as a people to do some things.
Yes.
Could you read that again?
Mm-hmm. And it shall come to pass when all these things are come upon thee, the blessing and the curse, which I have set before thee, and thou shalt call them to mind among all the nations, whether you're
quiet. Wait a minute. The blessing and the curse that have come upon us that we should call to mind to all the nations. We got to be the ones to tell them what happened. This is what we did. This is why we're in the shape that we're in. That's what's happening right now. This is what we're doing right now with this radio show is letting them know we are cursed people that were brought here by force against our will because of what we did. Go ahead. What else to say now?
Whither Yahweh the Elohim have driven thee and shall return unto Yahweh the Elohim and shall obey his voice.
Wait a minute, hold on, Kavai. We got to do what? We got to return to him, and then the scripture says we got to obey his voice, and what else we got to do?
According to all I command thee this day.
So his commandments, and what else?
Thou and thy children, with all thine heart, and with all thy soul.
Okay, now he said, with all heart, all thy soul, thine and thy children. And then when you talk about power, because I remember Brother Gary said, we a nation, but we don't have no power. This scripture says once we turn and we seek him and we start keeping his commandments, then what he say he going to do, Kavai?
That then Yahweh the Elohim will turn thy captivity and have compassion upon thee. And will return and gather thee from all the nations, whether thy Elohim, Yahweh the Elohim, have scattered thee.
Thank you. So all we're saying is the process has started. We're starting the process. We're turning. We're learning the commandments. We're turning our way. We're telling our children. We're teaching our children. That's gathering the nation. We're getting everybody prepared because the moment we can do that, we don't have to go back to Israel. We don't have to go nowhere because he's going to take care of Israel. Because the moment we do that, power coming. And the first core power is love. So we got to start doing this with love. So let us start by saying we're going to love each other. Yeah, hold on just a moment, Brother Moshe. We're going to love each other through this radio show. We're going to do what we need to do. But this is not about doctrinal issues. So hold on one moment, Brother Moshe, because we got a person that's been on hold for like 48 minutes. Hold on, area code 916, go ahead, you're on the air, and then Boshe, you can speak after him.
Shalom Aleichem, everybody. I really enjoyed the conversation. I want to thank you sisters for, putting something like this together. When I saw the post on Kava's page about talking about unity, I just want to share experience that we're having here. 916 area code is in Sacramento. My name is Kanok, and I'm the founder of the Israel Family Farm. Just over the last weekend, we had about 25 people over for Volunteer Day, and out of those 25 or 30 people, there were, I could say, about 75 to 80% of those people were Hebrews. We had Hebrews who keep lunar calendar, which, you know, the Sabbath going by whenever the new moon starts. We had traditional people that kept the lunar calendar based on, you know, the one that the so-called Jews keep. And then, of course, we keep a solar calendar here. What we were able to do coming together on a unified platform of what, regardless of the of what doctrinal differences and things that we have, we all have to eat food. And so as we start to look at the components of a community, a family, a nation, as it relates back to our original vocation, which was taking care of the land, as we start to practice those types of things, we will, the power that, you know, we're talking about and being able to get will become apparent. Because when you look at the condition of a captive is somebody who cannot produce things for themselves. And as a result, they have to depend on other people. As a result, being a dependent in America, even though we have all of these different camps and whatever, being dependents, we still have to go to our enemy for groceries. We still have to go to our enemy for gas. We still have to go to our enemies and we want to get our cars fixed, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, on down the line. And as a result, these things cause stress because we know that we're supposed to be a free people, especially if we're learning in the Bible, whether we're in the Torah or, you know, whether you're Messianic, that we should be free. And we're learning about being free and learning about being, you know, great, a great nation, as you can see in Deuteronomy chapter 26, 18 and 19. So these stresses then break down people's mentalities and they cause people to not love each other. Because when you're dealing with a lot of these people that don't have love for each other and fighting back and forth, you're dealing with the results of being a captive. Because it causes you stress when you walk down the street and you can get thrown in a police car and you live under that type of stress on a day-to-day basis. So what I'm saying is that as we come together as heads of state, as you can say, for example, you have five panelists, there are there's things that we're very, very similar. Because everybody's got to have food, everybody's got to have clothing, and everybody has to have shelter. And you can sit down with people, as I think Brother Gary was talking about, that may not have the exact same ideology as you do and start to build those things. Because in my city, Chinese people don't get on conference calls and argue about being Chinese at all. That's something they're not gonna argue about their nationality. They know who they are. But I guarantee you that there's Chinese Buddhists, there's Chinese Christians, and there's also Chinese Muslims. And in my city right now, they have 5 to 6 shopping centers where they have every manner of business that they're doing together. And as a result, they do not have to depend. They can go their whole entire day without ever seeing anybody but another person of their nationality. And I believe that as we start to focus on those types of enterprises from within the scriptures, we'll find ourselves coming into this power that we're talking about and these relationships that we're talking about between male and female. Because if you go to Proverbs chapter 31, that sister was tough. You know, she knew business as well as she knew how to take care of a household, as well as being able to take care of, you know, herself. As in her health, she was strong. You know, you can go on and on. And the fact of the matter is that, you know, when you start to practice our culture, which is based on agriculture, you'll see how a male and a female and the family start to fit together into a unified whole. And because, before we can get to nation, we have to have tribes. And before we get to tribes, we have to have clans. And before we can get to clans, we have to have families. And before we can get to families, we have to have individuals. So it starts all at those particular points before you can get to a nation. And so that's what I wanted to just bring to the table, you know, as far as what we're doing here as being able to unify people. Now, of course, they may have, you know, different Sabbaths, they have different Passovers, but at the end of the day, whose house are you going to go over to buy food from? Are you going to go to some grocery store or are you going to go to your brother who's a Hebrew? And that's where, you know, I think that we need to really start to focus on as far as unity goes. And that's what I had to say.
Beautiful. Brother Moshe, I'm going to let you have it.
Good word.
Here we're
going
to go to area code 314. And I want everybody to understand that this is powerful. You know, we're calling from all over the country. We have 1 hour left, and then we have an hour where we can go into overtime. So if you guys want to stay on the line, we really still have 2 more hours left. But I want everybody to understand that we must be respectful of everyone. So when someone's talking, I'm going to ask if you would please be very respectful of that and not interfere. And then once they're finished, then we'll allow the next person to talk. That way we learn how to communicate effectively, and we're not shouting and we don't seem like we're debating, because this is very powerful what we're talking about right now. Brother Moshe, go ahead. You're on the air.
Thank you. Thank you. Shalom, shalom. I like to begin always by saying, for those that are listening, please take notes and study and show yourself approved. I love you, Yaina, and I cannot wait to see you, so I can give you a big hug. I'm anxious to see you. But I need to say this. I need to say this. When you say this is not a doctrinal issue, but yet and still people are reading the Bible. See, we have to be real, real careful when we say that. It is a doctrinal issue, whether you accept that or not. It is, because as long as you're reading the Bible, you are telling a person your spiritual beliefs and thoughts. And saying that, I'm from the city of Chicago, and I was part of that movement with the Million Man March with my dear beloved brother, Mr. Louis Farrakhan. That march was put together, and at least 3 million men showed up. Black men, if you will, and they was of all nationalities. I mean, not nationalities. They was of all different religious and spiritual backgrounds. Over 3 million men showed up. And what happened after that? Absolutely nothing. And here's the reason why. It is a spiritual issue. The Almighty Yah have done this. And you can have a billion man march. If the Almighty Yah isn't in the midst of it, it's not going to move. Number two, I'm glad the brother brought up that issue about the Chinese people and so forth and so on. The Most High Yah gave these commandments to Israel. In the book of Psalms 147:19-20, he said he hasn't dealt with no other nation but Israel. This is an Israelite thing. It is. And who said that was the Almighty Yah. We can't get around that. This is a doctrinal thing. If it's not, let's all stop reading the Bible. Put them away. It's not necessary. But it is. And every brother on here is continuing to quote Bible scriptures and read Bible. Muslims that get on this line, they're not going to have a clue. They read out of the Quran. Christians get on, they don't have a clue who Israel is, and some of them are Israel. It is a doctrinal thing. We can't get around it. We can't get away from the curse that Yah set upon Israel. Going back to the land sounds like a beautiful thing, coming together and joining each other's hands and singing Kumbaya. It sounds great. But Minister Louis Farrakhan tried it with 3 million brothers. I was there. And I wasn't there at the meeting. I wasn't a part of the process of what they were doing. And nothing happened. Israelite brothers were showing up there. Several Israelite brothers. Nothing happened. Why is this? This is a curse from Yah. This isn't a man thing. Not at all. Yah put us in this mess, and Yah is going to take us out. Shalom, shalom. I hope someone received that and meditate on it and show yourself approved and continue to read and search the scriptures for yourself. Shalom.
Please, my sisters, can I respond to Brother Moses' comment?
Oh, just one moment. Who is this, Brother Gary?
Uh-huh.
Brother Gary, hold on 1 minute. I'm going to let 314 on because they've been holding on for a moment. Then after
okay.
Then you can respond. And I wanted to also make an announcement for those who are listening who just chimed in, because we have quite a few callers on the line. If you want to make a comment, please push number 1. Number one is going to put you in queue. I can see you, and you will be able to make a comment, and we're going to get to you. We have 2 hours left for all of you all who can't stay on the line after 5:30. When 5:30 hits, we're going into overtime for another hour. This is a beautiful thing, and I'm so glad that we're having an opportunity to do this together. Area code 314, your mic is open. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Shalom, shalom to all. And this is Sister Hedera out of St. Louis, Missouri. May I be heard?
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead.
Okay. Giving all praise to the Most High Yah and glory to His name, for it is through His grace that we are still here. You know, before we can find a solution to the problem, we first have to identify what the problem is and be honest about what we're dealing with. The Almighty lays out in His Word over and over and over again, and I think one of the most, the better part of it is in Ezekiel, the 20th chapter, where the Almighty lays out His case against Israel. He also does it in Psalms 105 through 107, where He laid it out concerning our people, what they did in the land of Egypt. And in Ezekiel, the 20th chapter, He lays it out, what we did to get us kicked out of the land. It is about nation. If we're mindful of Zechariah, the second chapter, it says, gather thyself together, O nation, not desire. Now, what does that mean? We are people, first of all, that the Almighty put asleep. He took all knowledge from us. It's only in these latter days that He's beginning to awaken us, and we can go to Isaiah the 6th and the 29th chapter to find that out. Also, as He began to awaken us, He tells us in Ezekiel the 37th chapter that He's going to be bringing us up out of the grave, that He's going to be putting a new heart, a new spirit, and a new mind in us. And once He returns us to the land, He will cleanse us from all of our filthiness and from all of our idols. In the meantime, He told Israel to gather yourselves together, O nation, not desired, before the fierce anger of Yah come upon us. As we can see, Yah's hand is already in the earth, and it's not going to get better. It's going to get a heck of a lot worse. Israel, as in the condition we're in now, every man, as the word says, Yasharon kicks hard against the prick. He is waxing fat. He's grown fat, and we've gotten lazy. And we're getting comfortable here in these lands of our captivity. Regardless of how we're suffering, we're still comfortable here. We don't know how to love one another. When it comes to, I heard the brother say that he went to the Million Man March. Yes, I know quite a few Hebrew, conscious Hebrew, because all of them were Israel, as far as I'm concerned, even though they had many different beliefs, but they were all Israel because they're obedient to the word. The word says, you shall go and serve other gods, gods that neither you nor your fathers have known, even wood and stone. So our people are serving a little bit of everything today. It says, but it does not negate them from being Israel, because those are the words that He spoke to Israel. That's part of the judgment that's upon our people. But because we have gotten comfortable here, and I'm getting ready to close, because we have gotten comfortable here, every man has built his own little kingdom. He's sitting on his own little throne. Nobody wants to get up the throne and give the glory to Yah, as He did with Moshe, and He let us know that there's never been a prophet like before nor after Moshe, yet Moshe didn't make it into the promised land. Why? Because he did one crazy thing. He said, must I? He took the glory from Yah. And today, we're so busy glorifying man, we forgot how to glorify Yah. And it's not going to be any other way but the way of Yah. And as the word says in Psalms 127, unless Yah build a house, we labor in vain. So I say to all of us, we got to put aside our differences, understand that we're all Israel, understand that the enemy does for us what we refuse to do for ourselves. Look upon us all as being one and the same, and that is niggas. And He treats us as such. We've got to come to know that whatever your gift is, let me put aside my difference and bring it to the table. Let us see how we can work together. There's a governmental structure that the Almighty has brought forth and allowed to be put together that would be cohesive for all of our people. Only thing you got to do is step up to the plate, because there's a lot of work to be done, a lot of work. And as long as we keep what's your doctrine, what's his doctrine, forget that, we're all Israel, all striving to do what's supposed to be striving. So please, Yah, and begging and crying out to Yah, asking him to return us back to our land and return us back to our proper status. So I'm saying that the chore is up to us. We can keep on deceiving ourselves and debating, because that's our thing to claim, is to debate. Because when all the debating is done, there's no effort, there's no result, no proof that we are the children of the Most High God. The Most High God. But as the word of Yah, it says we have profaned him. Where we have gone. So we don't have anything to be sticking our head all up in the air talking about we wearing royal robes and we over here at everybody's mercy. We need to come together and say, brother, what can I do to help? Sister, what do you need me to do to help? Our children out here are in need of positive role models, positive men in the family. Most of our men are jumping the ship, getting to the other, the foreign women. So the men that are left, you need to be going out here and reaching out to our babies, reaching out to the sisters that don't have nobody. And the sisters, we need to clean our act up as well. So that's all I wanted to say. I'm enjoying your program, Yahina.
Thank you so much, Ima. I really appreciate you being here. Put your mic on hold. I want to give Brother Gary a chance to say something in response to that, but I just want to let you know it's a lot of people on this line. We got people everywhere. Area code 817-312-314, area code 916-678-513-352. We got 404, we got 313-757, I mean, and several 111s on the line. So people are listening, and they archive this show, and I want you all to be free to say what you want to say. But we have to remember, like she said, we have to love one another. Our children are killing each other. Our children are in the street killing each other. And all we can do as women is compel our men to do something. Do something. I mean, enough is enough. We sit up and say what we won't do and how this is that and this is weird and this is weird. We're asking you as women to do something. Do something. If something's got to be done. It's got to be done. And like she said, positive role models. We have the truth. It's enough about the fact to go back to the land and go back home. It's enough to do right here where we are, right here, to get them to understand who they are and to stop the killing. So, Brother Gary, go ahead. The mic is open. Anybody that wants to make a comment, please push 1. I'll see it on the board, and I'll be able to let you in. The next person after Brother Gary is area code 513. I'm going to get you in right after him. Go ahead. You're on the air, Brother Gary.
Okay. What was the sister's name that just got off the line?
Her name is Ima Honduras. She's one of the elders, and she's from Missouri.
Is she on Facebook?
I'm pretty sure she probably is. I will get that information from you, and we'll make sure you have the information that you need.
Okay. Thanks. I appreciate that. And actually, what she said and what Brother Moses said, you know,
Moshe.
First of all, I want to say this, is that what we're doing, people may seem that it's just people talking, but the fact of the matter is that we have to come together and reason together. We have to see what the other person brings to the table, because we're a body, and we all have different parts and different functions. And there's things that I would have no way of understanding or getting insight unless my brother Moses opens up his mouth and speak, and I can hear what he has to say. Unless my sister, who, when we talk about the difference between the respect and the honor given to women and the gifts that are in them, well, we were just blessed with the voice of a prophet. Y'all call them prophetess. you know, put whatever you want on it. But the fact of the matter is that that's the heart that we just heard, because a voice, the prophet speaks the voice of the heart of the Most High. And everything that's been said, I'll go back to Brother Moses, and I'll begin just say this with his namesake, is that everything that everybody said thus far is so significant. It's so imperative to what we're to do and who we are as a people. It all contributes to it. We have to see our part and see our function. We have to as well be open for correction when we're in error. And we have to humbly say, well, okay, you know, hey, show me direction. But when we go back to Moses, it's real simple. Let's deal with Moses. Moses had set the people they left out of Israel with Moses were 70 people. And also my sister, what Brother Moses said, I agree totally in the fact that we don't, like, I agree with you ladies that we don't have to necessarily get caught up in a bunch of doctrine, because doctrines it gets the details, we get to the specifics, we get to going back and forth. But it's absolutely impossible for us to discuss issues that pertain to us as a people, because we are a people that have been sanctioned for the Most High. Only Israel has he called by name. We know that to be so. So therefore, Scripture informs everything we do and say. Absolutely everything we do and say, Scripture informs it to some degree, to some extent, if we really believe the book. And speaking of the book, Moses, 70 people, went into Egypt and captivity, went into Egypt as a people, came out as a nation. What happened during that 40-year period? That is exactly where we're at. Because what Brother Moses said, everything that everyone said, the sister just got off the line, we're all dealing with the fact that we all must submit to the sovereign hand of the timing of the Most High. And as long as we're in line with his timing, our efforts will be rewarded. So that means when we talk about power, I didn't say we don't have any power. I said we have limitations to our power. That means if this government decides to come down upon us, we don't have tanks. We don't have military. We got the Almighty. Let me finish, because the sister said, let us speak before we interrupt.
Yeah,
We do have the Most High as our ultimate power. That's why it talks about a place in the wilderness of preservation. We understand all of that, and we need to quit thinking that people who call in on these shows don't have that understanding, because there is a time and a season. But 40 years in the desert, what did he do to them? He had to teach them. He had to train them. He had to equip them. He had to prepare them. He sent Joshua and Caleb into the land and said, what's up? Can we go and take the land? Well, he also sent 10 other tribes with him. Ten others with him. But the other 10 spies said we'd be grasshoppers in their sight. And the fact of the reality is that right now Israel, mentality-wise, is grasshoppers in the sight of this Babylonian system in which we live in. And it's real easy to go somewhere off and isolate and live amongst yourself. But wait a minute. I thought we'd been called as a nation of priests, reconciling the world back into the Most High, letting them know who he is and what he's about. We can't do that isolated by somewhere, off by ourselves. So again, we have examples in the scriptures, and we all have a part to play. And like I said, you know what? I'm going to take back a seat, Lisa, because I am humbled in the presence of these ladies and these brothers on this line. I am literally humbled by the wisdom, the power, the glory, and the honor of the Most High that is upon us as a people. It encourages me that no matter what I'm going through personally, when I'm engaged in a situation, conversations, exchange like this with my family, get your butt up and go get it. Because the fact of the matter is that what comes down to it, what you sisters are saying and what you sisters are encouraging us and motivating us to do, like the sister who just got off the line, as well as the two sisters that are hosting, brothers, it's time to get up and go get it. Ain't nothing wrong with building a farm in your backyard, but why don't you own a corporation to incorporate America? Who says you can't have it? Scripture says that the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just for the end times. If we in the end times, well, come on, man, we got wisdom, we got power, we got gifts. Let's go get it.
Let's go to area code 513-652. Go ahead, you're on the air. Before you say something, I just want to say it is the beauty of the femininity of the woman that can draw a man to say, let's go get it. And that's why we have to be there. We have to be there to say, do something. Our babies are killing each other. Forget corporate America. We need somebody. I mean, I'm all with you with what you're saying. I understand that. But we need somebody to go out there and grab these young boys by the collar and say, stop killing your brother. Stop killing your sister. That's over with. We don't need the police. We don't need none of that. We just need our men to step up to the plate and grab them boys in the collar and tell them, stop killing each other. But I'm going to stop because I can go on and on. Eric, code 513-652, you're on the air. Go ahead. Shalom, shalom. Tamar, you there? I'm going to give her a chance to unmute her mic. I think it's beautiful. Kabai, you got something to say? We're going to give Tamar a chance to come to the line.
I do have something to say, and I'm just sitting in awe listening to the wisdom of our brethren, and I'm so grateful that they were able to come on and to come together and reason together and bring things and set it on the table so we all can come together with the mind of Yahweh, because in the multitude of counselors is safety. And it's something that I wanted to read from a book I've been reading. It's called Breaking the Curse of Willie Lynch. And a lot of us are very familiar with the Willie Lynch letters, of basically how he taught. He was a Caribbean slave master, and he came over and taught the slave owners here in America exactly how to keep our people in slavery, the making of a slave. So, but it's two paragraphs, and we were talking about power and freedom, being in captivity. But this gentleman that wrote this book made some profound statements. He used the term black, an African-American, and we all know that those are bywords, but for the sake of what's in the book, I'm going to read this because it's very interesting what he says, and we're talking about how we're powerless or we have no power. On page 66 in the book, I'll say the third paragraph down, he says this. He says, true power is based on a people's ability to initiate a plan of constructive action based on their own definitions. It does not matter what the predominantly larger social norms are, due to the fact that we are another people already defined by our own reality. This reality is based upon a completely different standard defined by those who determined that black people were different from those of European descent. Today, more than ever before, black men and women in America must redefine the one word that has been given to us by those who not only defined but took it away from us. That word is freedom. And freedom to some does not mean freedom to all. Freedom of mobility, choice of employment, choice of relationships, and choice of residence all sound wonderful. But what constructive use are they if at the core of our understanding of freedom is one that only reflects or mimics another culture's definition? Then he said on the next page, in one particular paragraph on page 67, he says this. He said, further detail of the definition of freedom can be best expressed by simply comparing Willie Lynch's people and the offspring of those captured Africans that move about somewhat freely throughout this country. Freedom to the Euro-Gentile is to roam the earth. Listen to that. To roam the earth. Build giant companies. Set up governments and military bases in other countries. Destroy anyone who dares not to comply. And forcibly draft anyone at any given time to do their bidding. On the other hand, freedom as perceived and defined for blacks in this country is to reap the material scraps from the rewards of the Euro-Gentiles' freedom and at the same time believe that they are reaping the benefits of true freedom, simply because under the system of North American-style slavery, we have been made to view another man's definition of freedom as if it completely applies to our particular set of circumstances. Listen to that. Two different mindsets on freedom. We're happy with, I can live in the suburb. I can drive me a big Escalade or a Lexus. And guess what? We don't own the company that built the Escalade or Lexus. We don't even own stock. stock in the company that built the Escalade or the Lexus. But the Euro Gentiles is this. I'm going to build a company and a business. I'm going to let the slave buy myself to keep me materially rich, and I'm going to be able to move about upon the earth, not the country, not one continent, but the whole earth.
Okay.
Basically saying that they are the Elohim of the earth. That's what they're saying.
Okay.
But our people don't even get it. The scripture tells us that he made the wall for Yasharal. But yet a Euro Gentile got the mindset that they own the whole earth. What the difference in a mindset of freedom? We have a mindset of freedom and their mindset of freedom. We got to get it together.
What about the conversion of the two?
Sweetie, can I speak? This is Adonia.
Yeah, hold on. Let me ask Sister Tamar, are you there? Hello, let me click her mic back on again. Sister Tamar, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you now. Go ahead.
Okay, hallelujah, todayah. Well, I had something else I want to say before Sister Kavad delivered that, my sister. Hallelujah. That just took it, not totally in a different direction, but I want to do say is that you guys are all right, and the spirit of Yah is moving through his people, and Abraham truly will not be ashamed of the work that Yah would do in the midst of his people. We're being sanctified in the nations. And I want to agree with the brother what he's talking about in terms of doctrine, and I thank you for intervening. But what the sister has said clearly should focus our direction on coming together, bring the different pieces of the body together, and recognizing the gifts and talents within each other. And the young man from Sacramento, California that spoke, if you don't already know his number, I think he really needs to be on an open mic at a panel of discussion, because we really need to get busy working. Elder Adonia said, when does it stop being lip service? It stopped being lip service when we say, you know what? I've got an interest in this. I can do this. You have to know that Yah is blessing our hand. Yes, it's timing. Well, what time are we in? The sister says 2 Chronicles 7:14, Zephaniah 2:1. Let's operate in that time. Each generation has its appointed time. So to give glory to Yah, we must operate in obedience to Yah. And that's all I want to say. Hallelujah. Toda Yah.
Hallelujah.
Every one of you.
All right, now this is getting really good. This is good, good. Let me make an announcement for everyone that's listening. If you want to say something, and also for area code 314 and area code 916, I still see you have number one push. I'm going to come back to your mic in a minute. Please don't give up on me. I'm coming. But I need to make this announcement as well. We have things happening already. Things are happening at a phenomenal rate. I mean, we are building things. We're getting prepared. We have the 2013 annual State of the Nation address coming in September the 1st, where we're compelling all of Israel to show up. Not only Israel, but the Muslims are coming. Not only the Muslims, but the Moors are coming. Not only them, but the Christians and anybody that's unconscious Israel, we're inviting to come to the 2013 annual State of the Nation address. The website for that is www.2013annualstateofthenationaddress. One of the brothers said, stateofthenationaddress.com. He made a statement, the elders, the leaders are on the phone in the panel. We want you to come together. We have the International Council of Elders that are going to be there. We are going to sit down and decide how we're going to go about this. We got www.yahwillgather.us. They're putting the nation together. Things are happening. We're moving through the government of the United States of America. Stuff is happening right now for us as a people, and we got to start everybody instead of saying, well, it ain't this time or it ain't this time. What you should come and say, what do you need me to do? That's the attitude that we need to have. So if you want to say something, please push number one so we can get you on the line. Brother Adonia, you can go ahead. You can speak.
Kane, this is Adonia again. Yes, everything that I can agree with everything that was said. Now I'm trying to figure out the solution to this here. How are we going to come together, and what are we going to come together to do?
My suggestion here is that we should get together a committee that is committed to getting all of the heads of the congregations together on in a forum. You understand? So we can try to come to a solution, and when we leave the table, we have already decided which way we're going to go and what we're going to tell our constituents. You understand? So we need to do that. Secondly, I want to ask the narrator, what is the is that program going to be streamed? Because I'm unable to get out.
Yeah, we will. We're working on putting all that together where you'll be able to see it. We're going to also videotape it. We have a whole program set up. We have media involved. We have everything we need. We just need the participation of Israel. You're right. We need to put a committee together to compel the heads of the camps and of the organizations to stop talking and let's come together. That's the only way we're going to change it. We can have conversation after conversation after conversation, blog talk after blog talk. I'm new to all of this. And I can say enough. I mean, I cannot imagine 10 more years of this conversation. Let's do something. Because it's only going to work if we get up and do something.
Yeah, see, if we could get the heads of the congregations together and we can get them to commit to bringing 10% of their gross earnings per month, we could support anything that we want to support. You understand? Anything that we think that Israel needs to be supported, we're supposed to support it until it supports itself. You understand?
All right.
So those are the things that I'm really concerned with. And as far as coming together, the Almighty will let us know which way we shall go. We play the Most High short. You understand? When we say, it's all about the Most High, and He's got a plan. He's got the plan, and we supposed to be working his plan. You understand? His plan was that he was going to get the glory from the whole earth. How is he going to do that? Bringing one little people, low people, to the top again. That's how he's going to do that. And I relinquish the mic.
All right, we got a new caller. You guys just opening up. Area code 111. I opened up your mic. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hey, shalom, Sister Yaina. It's Yahshua. How are you doing, sis?
Shalom, Yahshua. How are you?
Hey, shalom,
good.
My brother.
Shalom, Sister Kavah. Shalom to Moshe, Brother Gary also. Shalom, Ox.
Hey, shalom, Ox.
Shalom, shalom, Madoni.
Hey, shalom to everybody else on the listening line. I think who else was? Brother Abraham and everyone else just want to say shalom. I actually had a comment about some things as far as I think a lot of people are saying, what can we do, what to do, and different things like that. I would put out a suggestion and say we're talking about a nation, and if we compare ourselves to any other nation upon earth, no matter what nation that will be, Chinese, Japanese, whatever nation, the difference about us is, for number one, we are saying that we're Israel, who we are, but only less than 1% of us even know that we're Israel. So how can we begin to do anything if the masses of our people don't even know who we are, don't recognize our culture, our heritage, or anything? So if we were to do anything, in my opinion, it would be to, as the last brother stated, get the heads of all the congregations all across the U.S. I believe the first thing that the heads of every congregation should do is get a unified effort on the one thing that we do all agree on. There's only one topic in the scripture that we all agree on, and that is that we're Israel. After that, we're all going to disagree on the Sabbath day, on the new moon, on the Passover, on everything. But we can all agree that we're Israel. And the only scripture that we all agree on is Deuteronomy 28. So why don't the massive campaign be to every congregation across the U.S. for number one, is to go out to the masses of our people and tell them who we are in every city. Put a massive massive effort to go out to St. Louis, New York, Cincinnati, every city, and hit the streets majorly. Because like I said, less than 1% of us even acknowledge who we are. So how can we begin to build any nation if less than 1% of us is even acknowledging that we're that nation? The math, so we're not coming together, as far as the scripture said. We're not doing anything because all we're looking at is a few, a very, very small remnant of people that's in this belief system, and the masses of our people are in church today celebrating Easter and different things like that. So that would be my suggestion, to go out in every city and hit the streets on a major, major scale and teach the people who they are. That's the one thing we do agree on, and all the chips will fall where they may. Some will be messianic, some will be non-messianic, some will be, you know what I mean? So at least that can start a massive number of people and just waking our people up. So that's pretty much all I had to say.
Hallelujah. That was the best thing anybody said all day. And what you just, this is Abraham, and what you just described, Yeshua, is the United Nation of Israel. That, in a nutshell, is what the whole movement is about. Doesn't make any difference what your doctrine is, what you believe. It's about your status. You have to tell the stat. You have to tell the world that you are no longer a citizen, slave, debtor. That you want to change your status and be recognized as a Israelite, as a person that is truly free within this system. That you just nailed it. That's what we all about: changing your status, your political and your commercial status, so that we can open up businesses and have our own equivalent of Chinatown, but not a system that we pay all the taxes, we pay everything to the beast. We pay it to our own nation. All of the proceeds, all of the taxes, all of the infrastructure is ours. And until we can get to that point, and it starts with changing your political status, we're just a part of the beast system. We're just slaves. I don't think you can have $100 million corporation if all of your tax money is going to the State Corporation Commission of Missouri or Virginia or Ohio. Then you're just taking all of that and paying it right into the beast. How come we can't open our corporations in our own nation as a part of our own society, and everything operates within the society? We go out to California. That brother should be a, he should sell out all of his vegetables and fruits and whatever every year, because there's such a demand from us across the nation that he has to open up a 100, 200, 400, 500, 600, 700 acre farm to supply food to the United Nation of Israel in Ohio, in Cincinnati, Ohio, in Hampton, Virginia, in Atlanta, Georgia. We have our own trucks that are shipping it from California. Why are we buying food from other people when we got a brother making food that's in our own nation? But because we're not together, we're all operating as Americans. We're not operating as Israelites. So you nailed it. You answered the question right there, and that's what we need to do. I released the mic.
Hey, Brother Yeshua, you still on the line?
Hold on. I muted him just a moment. I also want to say, too, you know, that the beautiful thing about this conversation is the fact that we're being made aware. I didn't even know this brother existed in California. I didn't know that he was growing food and that he had the ability to be able to do this and to teach. These are the things that bring these conversations, brings these things out, so that when we finally do come together and we finally do start putting things together, we can get his website address and send it out to everybody so we can figure out exactly what he's doing, how he's doing, promote what he's doing. I mean, this is what we do. I mean, if you really go down the panel of the people that are on this line, we have people that have been in corporate America. We have business owners right now, previous business owners. We have all sorts of degrees as we go down this phone line that we've learned while we're in Babylon. Why not use it for our own advantage?
Hello.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying? We just got to use it for our own advantage, and that's how we start as a nation to be able to do the things that we need to do. So, Brother Yashua's mic is still open. Brother Gary, I think you want to say something, and then We're going to take, I want to ask everybody to please keep your comments down to 1 minute, because we're going to go down the panel for everybody that's lit up. If you have something you want to say, please light, push number one, and we'll get to you. Again, we're going to go into overtime. We have 20 minutes left here, but we'll have an hour into overtime. If you can't stay, we understand. But once 5:30 comes, you can't call back in. So if you have anyone that you want to include in this conversation, please call them and tell them to call in now. Brother Gary, go ahead. You're on the air.
Yeah. Brother Yeshua, I do have a question for you. Before I ask that question, I wanted to say in regards to people, you know, we talk about our gifts and our talents, is that listen to everybody talk. And obviously, everybody has a very significant, you know, part to contribute to the whole. I would basically just want to lend my talents. I'm a writer by profession. So, therefore, if there's any brothers or sisters right now who are on the line or who've been on the panel, and if anybody who's interested in coming together and preparing something that all we can be made aware of is just some type of understanding as to where we're trying to go and what we're trying to do. Because I think that that's really necessary, that we sit down and we do that and we iron out these things, the insights that the Most High has given us, so we can have like a blueprint, something to work from and to work towards. Because, again, it goes back to what Brother Yeshua said, and I think that the form is necessary, because so many times people's comments can be taken out of context, and what a person intends to say is not understood. Like the issue of timing. Brother Terry just spoke to that clearly, specifically, and I made that point about Moses. The first thing that when they came out of Egyptian captivity, Moses began to do what? He began to teach them the law. And what does the law mean? Instruction. He began to give them instruction. And the reality is, like Brother Yeshua just said, we think a lot of us know that we're Israel, but when it comes to the whole community of what they would call, quote-unquote, African-Americans, it's only about 1% of us that are aware of who our identity is as a people. So that says what? We need to be informed. So if I would say that if we're any place in a particular timing, for those of us who have called to that particular field to do that, then our job is to be informing. It's to be in teaching. It's to be instructing. That's what we do. And that's why come you have all these debates on Facebook and so forth, because basically the Most High does things in an order. He just doesn't do things haphazardly. So if the people need to be educated and being informed and being instructed, the first people he's going to send out are those who educate them and inform them. If the people need to be taught in the realms of horticulture and how to grow things and things like that, well, like you made reference to the brother in California, well, then obviously he's an expert at that. Then that means that's what? He needs to be teaching the nation. So in other words, Absolutely. Let us not be so quick to just disregard the input of teachers, because before you ever do anything, you got to get instruction. So when we talk about timing, Moses came out and the children of Israel came out of Egypt. The first thing they did was begin to teach the people, to instruct them, inform them, let them know what's going on, what you should be looking for, what we need to do. Give them instruction, because they had no idea how to build a nation. They had no idea how to build a kingdom. So because they came out of Israel, out of Egypt is a nation. But when they got to Israel, when they got to Canaan land, and when they were ready to take it over, they were a kingdom. All they had to do was just take their positions. So again, it's timing.
That's a beautiful point. And what I want to say also is this. We have a new person that pushed 1111. I'm going to get to you in a moment. That's beautiful. And the solution is, look, I'm not going to give out anybody's personal phone numbers over the line, but everybody has something to contribute. Why don't you all email us at Nation of Yehuda, YEHUDAH, at yahoo.com. Give us your email address, what you want to bring to the table, and then I will distribute it to all of the people that are on the line. If you want to be a part of this movement, whether you write, whether you have a business professional, whether you have banking skills, whether you have agricultural skills, IT skills, whatever your skills are, if you want to be a part of making this happen, because that's what we're already doing. We're trading skills among each other. If you need a website done, somebody's doing a website. The United Nations of Israel already has the format set up for the government. Things are happening. The Nation of Yehuda is putting things together administratively to help administratively. We have all kind of things going on. So if you want to be a part of this movement, forget the isms and the schisms, where you came from, what you believe in. Like Brother Yahshua said, let's hit the streets. Let's get out there.
Yes.
Email us at Nation of Yehuda, YEHUDAH, at yahoo.com. I'm also going to let Brother Abraham give his email address. And then the brother from California, I'm going to give you an opportunity for you to give your email address so everybody get pen and paper ready so we can take this information down. And I'm going to let area code 111 just been on hold for a minute. Go ahead, area code 111. You're on the air.
This is Mikhail Yisrael in South Central Los Angeles. I was just listening to y'all the whole time, and you was saying something about Hebrew farmer here in California. I don't know about him. You know, I would like to get in touch with him myself, you know, on into the food industry for our people, because we definitely don't have to eat. So I just would like to get in touch with the farmer out here, because I live out here in Los Angeles, and it's a lot of Hebrews out here, but we're not doing nothing for ourselves like we should.
Oh, beautiful. Okay, area code 916, I'm going to open your mic back up. Do you have a website address or email address where everybody can email you?
Yes, ma'am. We do have an email address. The email address is info@Yisrael, Y-I-S-R-A-E-L, familyfarm.net. That's our email address. You can also find us on Facebook. We've got a Facebook page, and probably many people are, you may already be a part of it and may not even know it, but it's the Yisrael Family Farm on Facebook. Also, our phone number is 888-487-9494 and option 2 once you do that. And, you know, I just wanted to say a quick thing, and I'll take the minute because I have to get ready to go. It's a beautiful sunny day, and I have to continue doing some more tasks around here. But what I would like to say is that, you know, as we start to talk about nations and coming together, I think a brother said that they didn't know how to become a nation, so they had to start educating the people. In every community, in wherever we have Hebrews across the country, there should be some things that are set up to be like a community center. Because if you look at Duke, they have a Chabad house. And if anybody's familiar with the Chabad house concept, is that in every city where there's Jews, there is a house that is set apart for any Jew coming into that city, whether they're Orthodox, unorthodox, whatever, they can go to that house and they can get services for their children. There's a business network. You want to find out how to what banks are favorable to Jewish people in that particular city. They have a house where you can go, and they will hook you up with the people that you need to get hooked up with to network, so that you, when you come into a city, you're not alone. And unfortunately for us, you know, we're just starting to come into these types of concepts now. But in every city, a Hebrew, whether they're coming alive that day or whether they're coming from another city, should be able to say, okay, I'm new in the city, I've just learned my culture, or I'm visiting. I should be able to call these people or go to this place and know that I'll be accepted, even if I don't necessarily have the same doctrinal beliefs as somebody, but I'll be able to be in network with other people of like-minded fashion, which is to keep the Torah and to worship the Most High, and be able to then network so the community can become strong. So, you know, these concepts are something that every nation has this. That's why you have Chinese people in all over the country. There's Chinese people in Brazil, and they have a community there. So, you know, that's kind of what I wanted to bring to the table. And, you know, that's it.
Beautiful. Can I say something real quick, Brother Abraham, while the brother's on the line and his mic is still open? Can you please give your website and everything for Yah Will Gather?
Hallelujah. The website is www.yahwillgather.us. So yahwillgather.us is a website that has a governmental structure, has the whole earth broken down into 13 regions, and we're looking for people you know, all over the country to get involved, all over the world to get involved, so that very structure that you're talking about is global. It's not just in the United States. The United States itself is broken into 5 regions. But go to yahwillgather.us, and you can see all of that, and all the phone numbers and email contacts are on that website as well.
Great. Great. Brother Gary, do you have any email information that you would like to get out? Imam, I'm going to let you speak just one more moment. Brother Gary, do you have any email information you'd like to give out?
You know what? The best way to contact me, I'm sure everybody here for the most part is on Facebook. My name is Gary Ellison. That's E-L-L-I-S-O-N. Put in my name on Facebook. That's the simplest way. If you want to contact me, instant message me, what have you, and definitely we have websites, but I think that's just the easiest way, simpler way. Just remember the name Gary Ellison on Facebook, and we'll go from there.
Okay. Sister Ema, you have something you want to say?
Yeah, I just wanted to add quickly. Earlier, when we were talking about freedom and to prove how necessary the understanding of that word is, our people for the whole think that we're free. And only because we're fighting a legal case here in Missouri, and by the way, we've gotten Israel, the nation of Israel, notification and identification before the U.S. courts now. So the word is getting out. But according to the Constitution, and see, these are the things we play lightly and don't want no part of it, but there's a reason why the Almighty is telling us to gather ourselves together and come up out of this system. And it's no different than he did in Egypt, let my people go on a three-day journey. He told them to get up out of Egypt, you see. So right now, as we are, according to the Constitution and the Supreme Court ruling with the Dred Scott case, we could never be citizens in this land.
All right.
The Dred Scott case has never been revisited. That has never been appealed. And the 13th, for them to turn around with a play of words and make us 13th and 14th Amendment citizens, we're still enslaved here. Because the two highest rulings in the land said we could never, whether born free or whether, I forget the other word, but either way it go, we could never be citizens of this land. And this is what's given, the Almighty purposely had it set up like that simply because we were never meant to stay here. This was the place of our chest. Our judgment. We were never meant to stay here. And so now we're going back, taking the power of the Almighty's words that he had them to put in writing, and we're beginning to use that in reference to our people. No, our people are not no 14th Amendment citizens. We're dual nationalists, and we can prove it. But we've done the paperwork, letting them know we don't want your slave status. We want our freedom. And that if enough of us do that on behalf, do it ourselves, go up and change our status, change our identity, then we can speak, begin to have the power to speak on behalf of all of our people. And I just want to encourage all, please, the United Council of Elders, it's not no organization, it's the word of Yah. Whenever Israel got in trouble, the first thing that the Almighty instructions that he gave was go gather the elders. So when the Almighty gave us this format, this and you know, I'm not going to go into how this thing came about, but if you come to know how it came about, you will know that it came by no other way but by Yah. And if you go and you study that website, you'll see the power of Yah in it. So, therefore, it's not for no organization. It's for our nation of people so that we can start coming together, bringing all of our little pieces of the puzzles to the table, and we can start forming our own governmental structure so that when Yah get ready to pull us up out of these lands, we will have some form of uniformity. And I'll relinquish the mic. Thank you again, Yaina, for allowing me to speak. And I thank Yah for your program, you and the other sister.
Oh, thank you so much. I also want to let you know, we do have a newsletter that comes out once a month. It is called The Seventh Seal. If you're interested in receiving it, we send it through email. and email only. You can email us at Nation of Yehuda, YEHUDAH. Don't forget about the 2013 Annual State of the Nation Address, which is going to be held in Cincinnati, Ohio, September. It's going to be August 30th and September the 1st. For those who want to keep the Sabbath with us, we're going to have some things going on that August 30th, but September the 1st is the actual State of the Nation Address. And we just want to tell everybody that we thank you all for coming. Like I said, if you want to stay on the line and continue dialogue, you're more than welcome to. We can go into overtime, but it's truly been a blessing that everyone has had an opportunity to say something. But the beautiful part about this is we're finding solutions. We're coming up. We're going to build that committee. We're going to work with the United Nations of Israel, because the Kaaba houses that he was talking about can be embassies all over the United States and all over the world. There's no need in reinventing the wheel. If the wheel is already invented, let's just work with what we already have and build embassies all over, so that in the event that we are someplace and we need to know and have a resource book with Hebrew Israelites and things that they do, we're going to create a book where all the Hebrew Israelites' talents can be listed and their contact information, because this is how we start to becoming a unified front. So in the event, I'm going to open up the mics and give everybody a chance to say something. We're going to start with Brother Abraham, and then we're going to work our way up to Brother Adoniah, and then we're going to go all the way up. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Shalom, shalom. I just want to just say love is the principal thing. Been a beautiful experience. You know, we started off a little rocky, but the Most High with the power of love just smoothed it all out. And I'd like to say that, you know, like Sister Yaina spoke earlier, it's not my intention to be offensive. My intention is to bring unity, oneness, peace, and love to, you know, all that we do. So, you know, I would like to apologize, because it got a little, started off a little rough, and I'll be honest, my feathers were ruffled. But I can truly say that it's been a humbling experience to hear the power of love is expressed through our sisters that have calmed the rough waters and brought peace and a tranquility to it. So I say Toda Ya, Toda Roba for the sisters who sponsor the show. Shalom.
All right, Brother Adoniah, you
want to
say something real quick?
Kane, this is Adoniah. Everything that everybody said was so overwhelming, and it brings tears to my heart to see us see the power of the Almighty at work. And we're going to gather. I believe this in my heart, and I know that the Almighty is in our hand. So all we have to do, our only job is to come together as a nation. The Almighty will straighten everything else out. We forget that we're dealing with the Almighty. We're dealing with, that's because we haven't seen none of his powers work. You understand? We have a tendency of not recognizing the Almighty like we should. We got to be able to trust in Yah, and He will bless our hand. And the thing is that we got, when we go away from here, when we leave this phone line, we got to say to ourselves, what can we do to bring the true house of Israel to power again? Yes. And I'll relinquish the mic.
All right. Sister Kavai, you got something you want to say?
I just think that it was a beautiful panel today. I want to say, in order for us to even having positive results, you also have to have a negative and a positive, which will give you another positive. So even in the midst of our feathers being ruffled, and even in the midst of us, you know, sharpening one another with our understanding of the scriptures and our intellectual knowledge, it all boils down to the fact that the positive part of it is that the Spirit of Yahuwah will reign, and the Spirit of Yahuwah will give us all the answers that we need to accomplish what needs to be done. So I want to thank everyone, our brethren, my brother Gary. I thank the Most High for you and for you honoring us with your presence and being on the panel. Thank you so much, my brother. And to all the brothers.
I love you. Thank you.
Love you too, my brother. And to all the brethren and the sisters that want her, Sister Tamar and Mother, I believe her name was Hondura. Yes, thank you so much for your wisdom. And the brother from the Israel Farm, thank you so much. Thank you so much. It was such a pleasure to hear the wisdom that is on the inside of you. So that's all I have to say. Shalom and thank you.
All right, Brother Yahshua, you have anything else you want to say? Your mic is open. Okay, we're going to move up. Ima Hadura, you have something you want to say?
Yes, I just want to say praise Yah and thank Yah for everyone that was on this panel today. And it just warms my heart to know that Yah's word is coming full circle. I never doubt Yah. Sometimes I doubt myself, but I never doubt Yah, you see. And so I'm saying that, like you've got the nation of Yehuda and the United Nation of Israel, we're all one people. And so, therefore, let us be mindful of this, and I'm going to leave everyone with this thought. Yah is working on many fronts. It's imperative that we be attuned to what he's doing. Then we will know what we should be doing. So if he has given something, because I hear a lot of things, I heard a lot of things said today, and a lot of things that were said we need to be doing, and those things are already done. But when you put them out there and say, hey, the only thing that is needed is for your participation, then suddenly everything just goes numb, you see. But I'm saying this. The governmental structure is there, and there's much work to be done. It's enough work for everybody, man, woman, and child, the nation of Israel. And when we begin to think as a nation and not as an individual, not as a belief, not as a church or organization, but think as a nation, then we'll understand why we need secretaries of state, we'll need treasurers, we'll need farmers, agriculture. We'll understand why we need those positions to be filled, because they begin to come together and work as a whole on behalf of all of our people. So, and the last thing I want to say is that if we learn, and I'm listening and hearing today, and hallelujah, to see Yah's word come full circle in loving one another. You know, we've been taught all of this time that we've been in these lands of our captivity how to embrace the barriers of division. We have not been taught how to love. So if we just let go and let Yah and let his spirit fill our hearts with his love, then it's not hard to get self out the way and let Yah come in and sit with us. May Yah be with us all. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Sister Tamar, your line is open. You have something to say? Brother Gary, you're going to be next.
Okay.
I just want to say, you know what? Let's march on in the victory of Yah, family. Let's do this doggone thing. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. All right, Brother Gary, you last one. Go ahead. You got something to say?
My sisters and all the dear family who have listened in, I'm going to leave you with this here. Sister Kavai, you know me. I always tell you my opinion does not matter. My opinion is of no consequence. It's only what his word says and decrees. I'm just going to read this last little bit of scripture. I know it won't be doctrinal. It's not doctrinal. It's just scriptural. And I just want to leave the family with that. Jeremiah 29:1. Context, children of captivity of Israel have been taken into Babylonian captivity. And now there were those who saying, okay, hey, you know what? Leave Babylon, do thus and thus. Well, as I said, in Scripture, we have a blueprint. Now, these are the words of the letter of Jeremiah, the prophet, sent from Jerusalem unto the residue of the elders, which are carried away captives, and to the priests and to the prophets and to all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had carried away captive from Jerusalem to Babylon. Verse 4, thus saith Yahweh of hosts, the Elohim of Israel, unto all that are carried away captives, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem unto Babylon. Build ye houses and dwell in them. Plant gardens and eat the fruit of them. Take you wives and beget sons and daughters. And take you wives for your sons and give your daughters to husbands, that they may bear sons and daughters, that you may be increased there and not diminished. And seek the peace of the city where I have caused you to be carried away captives. And pray unto Yahweh for it, for in the peace thereof shall you have peace. For thus saith Yahweh of hosts, the Elohim of Israel, let not your prophets and your diviners that be carried in the midst of you deceive you, neither hearken to your dreams which you cause to be dreamed. For they prophesy falsely unto you in my name. I have not sent, saith Yahweh, for thus saith Yahweh, that after years, of course 70 years, behold, I will visit you. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, Israel, saith Yahweh, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart, and I will be found of you, saith Yahweh, and I will turn away your captivity and gather you from all nations and from all the places I have driven you, saith Yahweh, and I will bring you again into the place whence I called you to be carried away captive. I leave you with that, beloved Israel. I love you.
I love you, too. Okay, everybody, we love each other. You know, we still got quite a few people on the line. We just want to share some love, and we're going to open up everybody's mic if you want to say love. We love you. I love all of you guys, and I want to see us come together as a nation. I'm working toward that. I'm giving my all to that 100% because we're beautiful people. We're powerful people. We're full of all colors and hues. We're full of all types of talents and educational backgrounds. And it's about time that we spend all this money, all this educational money, and all these student loans and degrees and all that stuff. Let's let that stuff work for us. Let's finally
Amen.
Use it for the benefit
Real.
Of us. I mean, really, let's just do what we need to do to make it work for us. So I'm telling everybody, I'm opening up everybody's mic if you want to say, I love you. I love you, Israel. Everybody can go up the line. I'm going to start with area code 314. You don't have to give your name. You can just say, I love you, and we're just going to move on up the line. You open? Hello? All right, 757, you can go ahead.
Shalom, shalom. I love Israel. I love the family, and I'm just very humbled to be a part. Shalom.
All right, 404, go ahead. You're on the air.
Shalom. I want to say I love all of y'all, and I love Israel, and most of all, I love the Almighty.
All right.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Erico 352, you're on the air. Oh, they don't want to say nothing. Okay, goodbye. Go ahead. Erico 678.
Shalom. Love all my people. I love you. Israel, bloodline of Israel. You know, a lot of times we look at the color, but it's all about that bloodline. So I love Israel. Shalom.
Yes, it is. Erico 111, your mic is open. Go ahead. You can say it. We say we love you. We love you today. We love, 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 love. Go ahead. 111. Oh, they ain't talking either. Okay.
What Erico was that?
111.
Oh, I'm sorry.
111. Go ahead. They're not talking. Okay. Ema, you're on the air. Go ahead. We take your love, too. We need much love. Oh, she must have been away from the phone for a minute. This is Tamar. I love you.
No, I'm saying I love you. My mic was, I'm sorry, I was on mute.
Oh, okay. We love you, Ema. We love you.
Love you, too. And I want everyone to know I truly love Israel. And one of the reasons why I'm praying that we do come together so our babies, we can stop the killing among our babies.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Right. Yes, ma'am. Sister Tamar, I love you.
That's right. I love you, too. I love you, too. I love you, too. I love you, too. But more than the love that I have for you is the love that Yah has for you. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Brother Gary, we love you.
I love you all, too. I love Israel, both the natural branch and the grafted in. We're all family, and I love you.
All right. On that note, we're going to say shalom, shalom, Sister Akabah. If you have anything else you want to say at this point, go ahead, but we're going to let the music play, and we're going to say shalom to everyone, and we'll see you next week. How about that?
Shalom, shalom. Thank you all of those that listen, and we love you, and we praise Yah for you. Shalom.
Shalom.
But now I know you're all I need. Oh, no. Hello? Hello?
I'm here.
Who are you? Say what?
For the Yehuda Project. I still have Sister Kavah on the line. We'll see you next week. Kavah, you want to say something? We love you, we love you, we love you, and we'll see you next week. Shalom, shalom, everyone. Shalom. That was live.